This one time for the Twitch. This one time for the text. This one time for the phone line. Whole time wonder what they gonna do next.
You know, I just wish you guys would stop the quibbling.
Stan Van Gundy said the Heat aren't in the same ballpark as the Sixers. Don't think I forgot, SVG.
How long ago was that, though? This year?
He said it in the summer, dude.
He said what you said, dude. You said what you said.
In the summer.
Okay.
And that is why I told you I'm tired of Stan Van Gundy.
Wow.
And all Van Gundys. And, man, do you, Leroy, I don't know. I could never know what it's like to be in your shoes. I could never know what it's like to be in the gridiron, the man in the arena. But I got to imagine one of the funniest things as a professional athlete is when you whoop a team's ass so bad that they got to hold an hour-long players-only meeting afterwards. Wow.
To be honest with you, that's a you problem. That ain't, I already kicked that ass. I don't need to know what you're doing.
You like sitting here, Jimmy and Tyler, they're skipping on over to whatever good meal they're going to have. And
oh, by the way, welcome back, Jimmy.
Oh, welcome back, Jimmy. That didn't need a by the way. We were going to get to it.
Huh?
We were going to get to it. But like the idea that it was funny. I was like, I left Jimmy and Tyler had spoken and I'm like, walking like these Sixers haven't talked yet. I see all these poor Sixers reporters like gathered outside their locker room. Like, hey, this is going to happen anytime soon. And apparently from the time that I was on the highway, they still hadn't spoken yet. And that's good. Who do you think led that meeting? You think it was Lowry?
I would say Paul George.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, Here's the deal. I mean, what are you having a team meeting about? Because you have the biggest man in basketball, the most athletic for his size, doing absolutely nothing, falling all over the floor.
Yep.
So do you have a team meeting so you don't just call him out?
I don't understand.
Because he should be more dominant. He should not be standing underneath the rim and not getting rebounds.
Has anybody in an exit interview ever told him, Joel, what about less falling? Just less. You know, you're not D-Wade. You're the biggest person out there, and you're falling all the time. You just, like, he's sitting there, and he just, like, falls through two Heat players. He nearly kills Jimmy Butler because he's just falling when nobody's looking.
He's the opposite of Shaq. Because remember, Shaq used to say, I'm so big, they can't knock me over, but it doesn't mean that it's not a foul. And my man is all over the place.
Oof.
He's always on the ground.
You know he didn't want to play that game yesterday either because he was like supposedly was going to be out. And I'm like walking around. I'm like, I was cutting some Mike McDaniel sound. I kind of got lost in it in the morning. And then I'm looking, wait, why is Joel Embiid warming up? I thought he was out. And they're like, nah, intention to play. I'm like, oh, somebody got guilted into it.
Yeah, pretty much. which brings me to my point.
Yeah.
If you're healthy, play. Because you don't know when you're going to get hurt.
Right.
And so the fact that maybe he was guilted in the playing means he should have been playing in the first place. 100%. If you're healthy enough, you play. Simple 100%. As that. Because you're a guy who always gets banged up anyway. So you get the games you can get.
I was insufferable yesterday as a Heat fan on Twitter, and I'm not proud of myself, to be honest with you. I'm a little embarrassed.
What did you do?
I don't like when I'm boots on the ground. You know, when I'm on my couch, all bets are off. But when I'm boots on the ground and in the Heat's building, I like to hold myself to somewhat of a professional standard.
First of all, don't come on this show and lie.
No. I really do. I think of myself. I'm not saying that I'm a journalist. I'm not saying I'm a journalist, but I am a professional, and I like to hold myself to a professional standard, right? And I gotta be honest with you. I saw this Jared McCain picked one pick after Khalil Ware, and I see the Heat's lead, you know, the Heat's deficit expanding to 20, and this kid's lighting them up like a Christmas tree, and the Heat just can't do anything. And I'm just like, this Eric Spoelstra. Like, he's just, I'm on Twitter. I'm like, I can't believe
that the guy picked before this is just sitting on the bench and this kid is lighting us up. The Sixers must be howling at us and saying, they pulled another Achiuwa because they got themselves another steal and the Heat won't play their first round pick.
Well,
and Eric Spoelstra might as well have turned around, looked up to Media Row, given me double middle fingers, and said to himself, hey, Tobes, you know how you want Khalil Ware? I'm a Drew Smith him. And by God, this is why he's the best coach ever, because this man used the genius of, my team is exhausted, and I'm going to play three people who haven't played in 2 weeks. Right. And it worked. They came all the way back. 3-point deficit going into halftime.
So my question is this, and I always say this about the draft. Just because somebody got picked before you that's really good, the Heat needed size. So I don't care how good they thought that point guard was going to be. Khalil Ware was more attractive to them because they wanted size. That being said, size doesn't matter if he's sitting on the bench. Right. They're all the same size on
that. That thought process is exactly why they didn't draft Tyrese Maxey, because like, yeah, we got Tyler Hero. What do we need him for?
Right, exactly. But yeah, that's my point. But that's like, my point.
But like, but Eric Spoelstra's like, you guys want your first round pick? Because let me tell you something. Jared McCain, he knew they passed on him. That dude was peacocking up and down the court.
He was actually the only one doing anything.
He was. It's true. I mean, Paul George, all he was doing was foul baiting and flopping, and Joel Embiid's barely staying upright. Kyle Lowry ain't shooting. You know, and Caleb Martin can only do what Caleb Martin can do, which is, you know, you can only put so many fingers in the wall to plug leaks, dude. And then
their problem is not players. It's a little bit, you know,
it's a ticket problem.
I think it's, yes, exactly. I didn't want to say it because it sounds, you know.
You know what it's, but you want to know what? And it's only one guard because it trickles down.
Yeah.
Trickles down, dude. Trickles down. You know?
Paul George got to look at this guy and go, that's it?
Yep.
That's all we getting out of here?
This is the dominant force everybody's talking about? This is it, huh?
And guess what? What James Harden is saying, I told you.
Yeah. And by the way, like every game afterwards, this Joel Embiid's like sending a love letter to Jimmy Butler. Like after the game, like anytime Jimmy Butler kicks his ass, which is often, it's always like, oh, Jimmy's the one that got away. You know, he might as well have like a Taylor Swift album about Jimmy Butler and their year together and how much he misses Jimmy Butler. But it's incredible, dude. It was to see Eric Spoelstra just be like, what's my move here? Alec Burks and Drew Smith haven't played in 2 weeks. Jimmy hasn't played in 2 weeks.
I always wonder. I'll play those guys. I always ask you about this because as a football player, you like to get in a rhythm,
mm-hmm.
right? And one of the things that was so annoying about being on a Bill Belichick team was you could have 25 carries 1 week and two the next. And it was hard to get into the flow of the season. It was hard not to just kind of, you know, well, whatever. But I always wonder in basketball, because it's rhythm shooting, it's rhythm playing, it's finding your spots, it's guys knowing where your spots are and things of that nature and a cohesiveness that's needed for everybody to get acclimated to everybody else. How does that work not playing for 2 weeks and then going in there and playing?
I don't know.
It has to be because every, like you say, oh, if you're struggling, keep shooting. Or if you're this, you're that. You have no idea what you're going to be when you go in there after not playing for however long.
Kyle Lowry's sitting there and he's watching Drew Smith outplay him. Just lighting it up.
That's not that hard.
That's totally fair. But you know what it is? But let's not forget about the bullying that this guy did to him.
No, sat there.
You bullied Drew Smith all summer.
Now you like Drew Smith. Drew Smith.
Oh, dude, you were so mean to him You're a bully. That's what you've been to him.
You know what bullies do?
What's
bullies
that?
Pick on the little guys.
Yep.
You picking on a guy that plays 5-10 minutes a game here and there.
Yeah.
No. And that's what you've been doing. Perennial all star.
His impact on last year's season was zero.
Yep.
Yet you still went after him. That's called low hanging fruit.
It is low hanging fruit. You are an eater of low hanging fruit, Frog Boy.
You could go after Eichenberg for potentially poking eyes.
He's a starter.
No way. Okay. What I'm saying is this guy bullies a 40. So you're a fan of Jake Paul then? Because essentially,
It would be like me going after Andrew Meyer, the Dolphins undrafted lineman who never plays. Way to keep the UTEP bum around. That's been you. That's been you. Bullying Drew Smith.
Marcos, he got a point.
Way,
you are going like.
No way. This is way different.
The guy played a lick of basketball last year, and all year you pounded him. Like,
no,
that's bullying. That's bullying.
By the way, beat science. I mean, came back from an ACL tear from that stupid court that's raised up in Cleveland.
Beat science because he got healthy?
Yeah, he beat science. He
Mr. Glass, imagine falling off a court and getting injured like that. Dude, it's like a two-inch step. Get out of here.
Hey, that's a steep drop, dude.
I don't understand it. Why would they do that?
They might as well put that on the edge of a mountain.
No wonder they're undefeated. They just fear death like American gladiators.
But I don't understand why they have to do that.
I don't either. I don't get it. They're the only court that's an NCAA thing. I don't see anybody else do
that. That's an NCAA thing. Yeah. Which is also frightening.
Mm-hmm. Very weird. Spo, this is him on his faves. Drew Smith.
Active, you know, tonight. Again, I'm not even gonna look at the box score, but he just does a lot of things that allow your better players be who they need to be. And defensively, he's a pest. You know, he really is. So it's not necessarily about, you know, his stats or his scoring. All of that stuff is getting better, you know, especially his shooting. But it's all the intangibles that every team in this league needs. And he provides a lot of those.
How come all the other intangibles on all the other teams can shoot lights out from three? You see, Drew shoots it from his face.
It's a strange motion. I give you that.
He shoots it from his face.
It's a very strange
because he's trying to get around his gums as he launches the ball.
I don't like what you're doing.
He scored 10 points against a senior citizen. All of a sudden, you want to praise him with another statue.
You got to admit that him with the cut hair is a different edge to him.
He's a little more aerodynamic. I'll give you that. You know, he plays defense better.
Oh, he's a good defender.
Yeah.
He's a good defender. He's a good passer. The offense, you know, it'll come.
Alec Burks, though.
I mean, he took some Terry Rozier minutes.
Oof.
Basically, they said to Terry, if you're not going to score, you don't play good enough defense, we need to.
Oh, Terry was out last night. But yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, there's fans already who want to be like, hey, Drew Smith in the starting lineup.
But that's always been Terry's game.
Apparently, Terry.
Like, he'll go cold for a while, and then all of a sudden, he'll get hot.
Well, it was really strange. Like, he was ruled out yesterday. Oh, bless you, dude. Are you all right?
Thanks. I didn't know whether to grab the napkin or push the button.
He apparently was hiding a foot injury from them, and then just like, yeah, my foot hurts. And then they're like, all right. And hey, so he's out.
Not for nothing, but I understand that, right? The worst I felt was when Robert got hurt, and then I got hurt the next game. That's why I'm there. That's why I'm there. I'm there for one job, to be able to play the 3 or 4 games Robert gonna miss and to do the stuff I do during the game, right? So, yeah, I understand that. So you kind of – you suck it up more than you probably would, but the problem is sometimes it affects your play, and then you got to make a better decision because you're not only hurting yourself, you're hurting the team.
Great point by Dade South. Margo said after poor Savon Ahmed too. Yeah, RB4. Goodbye dude.
Okay, and where is he now? Where is he now?
You know how to pick him.
Waste of really a roster spot. You know?
Well, where did you expect RB4 to be?
I don't know. We could have used that spot for center long snapper hybrid.
But believe me when I tell you this.
Yeah.
With what was happening to the offensive line at that time, If there was somebody available, they would have gotten him. That's the problem. Everybody always says, let's just go do this. Let's go do that. You think they're not scouring the internet for somebody who's available?
Nah.
And sometimes isn't the guy that you would replace him with or the guy that you would bring in isn't good enough. So
that's not the problem, though. The problem is they're in love with these players. They're in love with Drew Smith. They're in love with Salvin Ahmed
for no reason. That's not it.
He must have bought like pizza in one day. And everyone's like, that's the pizza guy. We can't cut him.
Marcos, you're way off.
Pizza? Okay, chicken wings, man.
They might not be in love with those players, but the reality of it is they like him more than anybody else they could bring in to take his place. That's you can't just say, oh, he's not good enough, let's get rid of him and bring somebody else in, because that guy might not be as good as the guy you got rid of.
Drew Smith took away minutes from Nico yesterday at point guard.
What?
Imagine that, huh? Nico at point guard running up and down the court.
So wait.
Would have loved that. Hold
on. I'm getting to the bottom of this.
He's like Magic.
Frog boy.
Tall point.
Did you have the Nico over?
No, I did have the Tyler Hero over, who at first, are we getting 2 points at halftime? Of course. Five games in a row, he wants to have a prolific scoring night. The one night I bet on him, he wants to have 2 points in the first half.
Jimmy's
thanks
back.
A lot, dude.
I had a hell of a third quarter, though. He took that leap over.
Yeah, absolutely. 16 in the third. Yeah, and I was like, he can potentially make it. He did not.
No, but here's the problem.
He did not.
Here's the problem. Yeah. You ready? It became a blowout.
Yeah, I know.
And now you don't need
it. It changes the way I watch games, because then when we're up by 20, I'm like, come on, Sixers. Make it a 13-point game so Tyler can get back in here.
I'll tell you who was taking all the shots in that fourth quarter up 20 feeling froggy was Jay Rich, and he was
Oh my goodness.
He was not hitting one, dude.
That guy is been great. Like, it's been great for him.
It's weird because you see him shoot, and I always think that has no shot. And then he'll make a couple, right?
I did.
We got a lot of guys, even on both teams, just totally destroying the bunnies.
Oh, dude, it's weird.
Goodness. It's weird, isn't it?
It's weird. Yeah, they're like one of the worst layup teams in the league, if not the worst. It's crazy. Also, I did laugh yesterday when Jay Rich passed it to Haywood Highsmith, who was out of bounds. I'm like, vintage Jay Rich. Still got it. Going out of bounds. Still got it. We'll take a break. We got more to get into from the Heat game. We got lots to dive into. I went to the Marlins press conference yesterday, the new manager press conference yesterday before the Heat game.
You had nothing to do before you
had nothing to do. Exactly, dude. Okay. I had nothing to do.
I knew what that
was. Had nothing to do. I'm like, I'll go see what this guy's about. This new Clayton McCullough. So we'll get into that as well. Bruce Sherman said some things. I kind of think he's like he might just be like Loria. But like less bombastic,
less in your face,
definitely less in your face, but kind of just says the same things. But we'll take a break, back after this.
This ain't Texas. Ooh. Ain't no hold 'em. Hey.
NFL?
Wow.
Why's she doing the sneaky camera today? What's she doing over there?
I've been here for a while, and I've been locked out, so...
You're locked out of your computer?
Out of every computer, and I'm here waiting for assistance.
Well, what happened? You forget your password?
No. Just doesn't want to let me log in, because I changed my password at home.
Use your old one.
I did.
That didn't work either?
No.
The same problem.
Too secure.
I have the same problem.
Yeah, so I've been here and they told me to wait.
And here's the crazy part. They know they send these things out ever so often, right? There's never a message on how to do this in the different locations. And then when you go and say, hey, my show's about to start.
They know
I need help. Okay. They go, I'll be down there in a minute. Like, what part of show getting ready to start needs to log in?
Mm-hmm.
So
it is what it is.
Oh, wait. It's lucky they didn't tell you fill out a ticket because, hey, I can't fill out a ticket. I'm not on the
ticket. I'm not logged in.
It's a chicken and egg thing.
Right.
What?
It's okay.
It literally is a joke. I mean, it is. I wasn't making a joke.
Really?
What? Did you watch Monday Night Football last night? I didn't watch a lick of it.
I did watch some of it. I saw the strongest leg on a kicker I've ever seen.
What did he hit?
64-yarder, like it was a 30-yarder.
That's the Dallas kicker?
Yeah.
Yeah, that guy's got a boot.
And then I watched something very similar to the Browns game. Cooper Kupp threw for 350 yards, and they got blasted.
Oof.
But here's the deal. We have a lot of chirpers on that team. All of them are in the defense.
Yeah.
Why aren't they stopping anybody?
Micah Parsons?
Yeah, all of them. And he's stopping nobody. So while we sitting here talking about the coach and the offense and Dak, at least I'll say this. When Tua was out, the defense held it together and at least gave the offense an opportunity or a chance to win. This defense is not. They're not even close.
Mm-mm.
It's unbelievable.
No, they stink, dude. They stink. Can't stop anybody, and now they don't have their QB, of course.
And everybody want to get paid.
I mean, everybody but Micah has gotten paid. Like, they were talking about that today. I was watching Jet Up. You know, and when it's not Jet Up, it's basically Cowboy Up. Oh. And they were like, this Greeny, he thought that he was a real genius. He was calling him Herschel Parsons. He goes, I call him Herschel Parsons because they're going to get a haul from him. I'm like, I don't think they are. Like, if you trade him, someone's going to have to give him a fat new contract. So, like, you're not getting the Herschel Walker trade if you trade Micah Parsons.
But the deal is that they've backed themselves into so many corners. And the thing is that when you watch Micah Parsons, right? He's all over the field. He's Mr. Everything on defense. He's all over the place. But is he really making plays? Right? Here and there. Is he like when I think of, say, Crosby.
Yeah.
When I think of
Watt.
TJ Watt. When I think of Myles Garrett, they are changing the game. They are affecting the game in the run, the pass, and everything. If I watch Michael Parsons, do you get that feeling?
I mean, I know he's good at getting sacks.
I know he's good. I'm not even questioning that. But does he change the game for them defensively where you got to, you know, change your blocking schemes or do a whole bunch of other stuff? Because guess what? Houston did what they wanted to do. So is every other team. So how much of an impact is he making? So while I would say that some teams would be interested and wouldn't mind giving him the money, I would also say this, that if you're going to give Micah Parsons a boatload of money, he better be that dude.
Yeah, or like Huh? Like, or like a contender would just like if a contender had FU money and could just get a pass rusher.
They would do the same thing that would the Rams did when they went and got Von Miller.
Yeah.
Like that.
Something like that.
But even Von Miller is more of an impact because he does the run, he rushes the passer.
Yeah, right? You've been saying Micah Parsons is overrated for a while.
It's not that he's not overrated, it's just that we take a certain aspect of the game and make it the most important. Mm-hmm. So we take sacks
right. And
make it the most important thing. And what I would say is, okay, say if he gets a sack a game, that's one play. And he finishes the year with 16 sacks. Has he really made an impact? Because guess what? Every team they've lost to has run the ball down their throat, has play actioned them to death, and he doesn't get a sack every week. So what impact is he making? To me, the impact is not there like when we talk about the other guys. When you talk about Max Crosby, he was all over the place.
Just say Zach Seale is better than him, dude. Just say it. Just say it. I'll say it.
I will say this. Zach makes more of an impact.
I think he's better. Zach Sealer's better than Micah Parsons.
Wait, let me watch this. When Micah Parsons was out versus Micah Parsons being back, any different?
Mm-mm.
Zach Sealer out, Zach Sealer back.
Yep.
You see what I'm saying? That is tangible stuff.
It's very clear, by the way. I just want to point out, this is not for our radio audience, but our visual audience. JFig likes being in the production studio. Kind of looks like her goth cave, you know? You can tell that she's enjoying the lack of lighting in there. She just seems more at peace.
Yeah.
She is happier than ever. And she kind of likes sneaking and controlling things. So if you see any good camera angles of any sort, that's her like hiding underneath the table and using the mouse. And I'm like, it's fine. It's okay. It's totally fine.
Schmeath makes a great point. Once Aaron Rodgers retires, Parsons takes the place as the player Leroy Horde hates most award.
Wait a minute.
First of all, I did not say anything that was not accurate. You could put whatever twist you want on it. No, it's facts.
Man.
If we're going to talk about a guy dominating that side of the ball, shouldn't he be making more of an impact?
I agree.
Like all the other guys.
I agree, for sure.
That we talk about in the same elk as him.
They're a lot like the Knicks, dude. There's no football overrated like Cowboys overrated. You know?
Yeah, and then what ends up happening is Jerry Jones end up paying all of the overrated players, and the team sucks.
I'm all in. You think
he needs to be all out for just a little bit.
You think he's going to have a fun radio show today?
Oh, my goodness.
I'll get somebody else to ask me these sassy questions.
Those hosts are getting fired today.
Here, Michael Parsons reminds me of?
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about the guy on the other side of the ball or the guy in basketball, that's great when that other dude is there. You know what I call him? Scottie Pippen.
Ooh. I was going to say like Olivier Vernon. That's what I remember from the Dolphins. Remember Olivier Vernon?
He was opposite of Jason Taylor.
Nah, he was opposite of Cam Wake.
Cam Wake, sorry.
Cam Wake and had Ndamukong Suh. But then he had like 1 year where he had monster sacks, and then he went to the Giants, I think.
The Giants. So you understand what I'm saying is that, like, he hasn't shown that I'm changing the game. I'm impacting the game like all these other guys. But if you put somebody on the other side, then he's going to ball out. So does that make him a number one or a number two?
I don't know. It's a good question. El Butre says, Tobin, slow your roll. First of all, Leroy started off the Micah Parsons slander. I'm just trying to find a comparison.
It's not slander.
Football to football. Wait a minute.
Why are we confusing slander with facts? Let me ask you a question.
I'm also laughing at somebody.
If you're going to pay top dollar to have somebody cut your grass, so you pay more than anybody in the neighborhood, don't you want your grass to look the best?
For sure.
Okay. So if you want Jerry Jones or whoever to pay you as the top pass rusher in the league, shouldn't you be that dude making that crazy impact on the game?
I'm also laughing at 305 Florida Man 561 who says, Jerry Jones enjoys a mint julep. Okay. The old love of mint julep.
No, Jerry Jones drinks Blue Label.
You don't think he has a mint julep, in that little tin thing?
Jerry Jones drinks nothing but Blue Label.
That's all he drinks? So you know that for a fact? Really?
Yes. Yes.
Even when he goes to the Kentucky Derby?
Yes.
I don't know about
Blue
that,
Blue Label.
That dude looks like he'll have a mint julep every now and then.
I had no idea. We're currently looking up what a mint julep is. Can I get this at Stars?
Mint julep's like
put it this way.
It's like a redneck mojito.
It's a drink with a shrub in the middle of it.
Well, okay, right.
It's,
I understand.
It's like a crushed. It's crushed up mint
flavor. Okay.
Yeah, you can't. You know, she likes the shrubs. You can't go after the shrubs around.
She does, but that's because you know you're like part aardvark. I don't really understand what you're doing. We're trying to talk. Ruin it, dude.
Okay.
Wait, did you just call Jessica?
You called her an aardvark?
Don't they eat ants?
Do they? I don't even know.
No, it's an anteater, dude. Aardvarks love the shrubs.
Do they love the shrubs? Aardvark.
Don't the aardvark look like an anteater?
You know what else has mint flavor?
What?
I think you were spelling it wrong.
Go, 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 go.
Blue Chew! Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in a chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Now you can chew it and do it. And yes, indeed, they do have mint flavors. All right, everybody. And it's online. All right. You can go to bluechew.com. You fill it on out. You don't have to have a doctor's visit. No pharmacy visits. Ships right to you in a discreet package. And I got a great deal for all our listeners out there. You guys can try Blue Chew for free when you use the promo code SHOWPONY. You use the promo code SHOWPONY at checkout. You pay just $5 for shipping, but you're getting your entire first month of Blue Chew for free. That's right. Your entire first month of Blue Chew right here from Old Tobes when you use the promo code SHOWPONY. So go to bluechew.com. Look, if your team's not doing so hot and you still need to be in the mood because you overpaid a bunch of bums, go to bluechew.com. Anonymous owner who said he was all in. I'll tell you where you want to be all in with Blue Chew. Use that promo code SHOWPONY at bluechew.com.
SHOWPONY.
Everybody, and welcome back. Tobin and Leroy here with you. 560 WQAM. Tomorrow night, Whiskey Stars and Cigars. It is presented by WQAM and Edmore Sawgrass Auto Mall. You guys can come talk sports with the WQAM staff at our new location, Tabacón Cigars and Spirits at Plantation Walk. You can enjoy a sample of Aberfeldy 12-year-old single malt scotch whiskey and a cigar from Drew Estate. That's tomorrow at Tabacón Cigars and Spirits at Plantation Walk, presented by Edmore Sawgrass Auto Mall, your 2023 Dealer of the Year. Sponsored by the main man. There's nobody better to help you flip your biz and cash out big than the main man. And by the injury law firm of Cohen & Judah, where a partner handles every single case. Call 866-FAIR-FEE. I'm going to need a lot of those samples just to give a fair judgment, of course. You know
what I'm going to need? An apology.
Me? Why?
Because I said, isn't an aardvark like an anteater?
I didn't know. Yeah. What does it do?
True.
Apologize.
Whoa! Apologizing for not lacking aardvark
also
knowledge?
Also yes. Right, you should have said no shot. Okay?
True.
You should have said, wait, you only have to apologize because you dipped into what you didn't know about.
Well, how do you know? Like, what is it? What do you know about aardvarks?
They kind of look like anteaters. They got the same little nose.
What do they eat?
Ants.
Termites.
You sure?
Yes. They eat the same thing. They got that same little nose. They dig in the ground. Somebody get a picture of an aardvark. This guy is like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah, you know, everyone knows that as mere macophagous animals, aardvarks feed almost exclusively upon termites and ants. Because everyone knows about mere macophagous animals.
It says on Google, aardvarks eat a plant called the aardvark cucumber. It's the only non-insect food that they eat. So they do. They're an omnivore, but they eat cucumbers, which is kind of like what JFig puts on the tacos, man. Like, okay, you really ruined
it. You realize I'm not the only one that does that, right? You guys are the ones that are wrong here.
Listen, I don't think we are.
Can you have a little bitty baby soft taco? You can't pile a whole bunch of crap on it. It gets all over the
cilantro
place.
On it. It doesn't even weigh. What is wrong
here's,
with
here's
you?
Here's what happened, J-Fing. I'm going to tell you exactly. You have these fancy taco places, like a Rocco's Tacos. Mm. And what they do is they want to save on material. So what they do is,
why don't we put a little green on there and some chives and some onions.
The little green is not for color. It's
and
for
all of a sudden,
flavor.
They don't have to
and
put
also,
any steak on it.
The whole country of Mexico does that.
No.
Yeah.
No, I've been. No, when you go to a Mexican taco truck, that
you
thing
you
is
parmade
up.
You cannot try to school me
up.
Here. I've been to Mexico so many times. I have Mexican family. You cannot try to. Don't do that.
I've been to Mexico.
I just got back from Mexico.
Not the part with tacos, though.
Woo, pretty good. Wait, what part then?
I went to Tijuana.
No.
They got tacos.
How is
there.
That not?
They also have dirt roads.
Yeah.
And a lot of tequila.
Chilling on a dirt road.
And you got to be careful. We had to be careful because if you go to try to buy souvenirs, the cops come over and say you stole something. And then you got to pay your way. You got to give them $100 to get out.
True.
Like you they should told always us, be careful, by the way.
Yeah, they told us always travel in packs and don't get caught in a store by yourself.
Kind of like an aardvark.
Okay.
They don't travel. Do they travel in packs?
Yeah, they travel in packs.
You and Nico could be aardvarks.
What?
Whoa!
Jeez, dude! Oh, man, I got to publish the bingo card
not
for today.
Wow! I love how you've gone from fat shaming to nose shaming.
I'm just, there he is. Get your ants, big boy. Get your ants.
I can tell them.
I would have the same size nose, but mine's been mushed on my face. See, it's flat.
You claiming you had a Nico nose before you had football?
No, that's a black people thing. Our noses are flatter. I don't know why.
But aardvarks do travel in packs, dude. They call them the wolves of the insectivores.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I've heard that before.
Oh, my goodness.
I've heard that before.
Dude, yeah. First of all, you didn't even know what an aardvark is. Now you're talking about their travel arrangements.
There's a lot of info that comes up when you aardvark AI on Google now. Just comes and gives you the answer.
Yeah, Google.
I mean, that used to be a cartoon, right?
Bizarrevark?
No.
What?
There was a cartoon with the aardvark.
Yeah, is Arthur. There?
Arthur was not an aardvark.
Yes.
Come what on. Was he, though? I don't know. Was he a llama? What was Arthur?
He's an aardvark, dude.
Come He's on. Not an aardvark.
He's
dude.
An aardvark.
Looks nothing like, dude, I he promise. Doesn't look anything like an aardvark.
Well, He's I mean, an anthro... God, these science words.
Hey,
anthropomorphic.
Big word for you, dog.
Roadrunner kind of looks like a roadrunner, but not really. I've seen a real roadrunner.
I'm telling you, it's an aardvark, dude.
Arthur. He looks more like a roadrunner than Arthur looks like an aardvark.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's fair, but... I don't know. Maybe he just had an issue with his nose. We didn't realize we were supporting, you know, what would be deemed less than a beautiful aardvark in his community because of his lack of a long nose. But he's an anthropomorphic brown aardvark.
He doesn't look anything like an aardvark.
At all.
So dumb.
I know.
Arthur is an aardvark.
Telling you.
I used to love Arthur.
Oof.
I mean, he always taught great lessons. I mean, very nice, Arthur.
Yeah.
Having to go through the challenges of growing up, but I never realized that he was an aardvark.
No, I completely understand. Boy
and eater cartoons of the 90s.
Dade yeah. South says 0-2 on aardvark knowledge.
I'm telling
yeah,
you, man.
Let me tell you, you're 0 for Tuesday so far.
Don't let me get one.
Woo!
Take a break. We'll come back. Hour 2 coming on up. Mike McDaniel has some thoughts on the Dolphins.
That's
going to
take
a change of philosophy.
Why don't we just call it our Mike?
We will hear from the Dolphins head coach. Again, do a little footy football next.